Mr. President, I don't think you're allowed to call him.
Test. Okay, can we have a roll call, please?
Director Ohilski, Director Bogo.
Here.
Director Wright.
Here.
Vice President Baltimore.
Here.
President Muthard.
Here.
Thank you.
Can we receive report out of closed session?
Yes, Mr. President, members of the board and audience, the board did go into closed session at 6 o'clock this evening in regards to three separate categories of items. The first involves pending litigation. The first case involved the bankruptcy. The second case involved the groundwater adjudication and the ISJ. And the third involved Court Family Property versus Social Community Services District, which is a cross-complaint. In each matter, they heard a report from legal counsel but took no reportable action. In Category B, under Government Code Section 54956.95, they heard a report from the Interim General Manager in regards to this claim, which was heard in the Small Claims Court of San Luis Obispo, and receiving a decision today in favor of the district. The third category is personnel. Under Government Code Section 54957, the district negotiators were Vice President Baltimore and Director Vogel. The employee organization is the San Luis Obispo County Employees Association. The board discussed the present status of that, but there's no reportable action. That concludes my report.
Thank you. Wow, we're there. Okay. The next item on the agenda is what we've called an information item, and what I'd like to do, because we've gotten a number of requests to provide information regarding the construction of the wastewater project, we've prepared a few slides showing folks how to obtain project information and scheduling. So it's a little unusual that the president would be doing this, but since we have an interim, I volunteered to go ahead and present a few slides for some information here. Very good. Okay. On this slide, there's the basic information for the Diglo Sosos website, which is www.diglososos.com, and the traffic updates number is 546-2802, and you'll see that throughout the slides here. we just want to remind people that delays are definitely inevitable. This is a large construction project, and we want to emphasize safety and urge people to drive slowly. Try to remember to leave your house a little bit early. As you go through neighborhoods, we're all experiencing the same thing. And if you have further questions, digging deeper into the project, you can contact the San Luis Obispo County Public Works, 781-5252. This fine piece of work of art is the Los Osos Community Services District website homepage, and where the blue arrow is, there is a link to the current traffic updates. And when you press that link, you go to this webpage. This is the Dig Los Osos webpage. On here, it's difficult to see, but there is a lot of information. I'm going to try to get kind of far away here, so I'm getting the vibration. There's a lot of information here, but one of the things that you want to see is that phone number is actually right in this area here, and we've got it printed up bigger up here. Thank you. So for the Los Osos construction locator, There is a button there that says "Click Here." When you do that, and you can click there, or you can click on the map, and this doesn't show the full page, but there's another place where you can click. When you click about the schedule dates, what section your construction section you're in, and when you're starting construction, and when it's scheduled to be ended, and the duration. Okay, so it looks like they've done a really good job. You can do it from the map, you can do it from satellite, they've got topo, topographical things. They have interacting where you can draw on the map yourself, make your own notes. The legend here is you can make that disappear. Very good utility here for finding out what's going on. Of course, keep in mind, and they do mention it several places, that this is their best schedule that they can come up with now, and it could change. So check it frequently if you're getting near your time. More information here. If you want to talk to some good people, you've got Dig Los Osos, Michelle Hauser at 242-6815. If you're concerned with the water conservation rebates, you can contact Ray Dienzo, 788-2110. Lateral locations, encroachments, and easements is Robert Ruiz at 788-2114. Also, when you do call the 24-hour traffic line, there's more information on there. You get the traffic, and you get office hours. You get other numbers, like, for instance, Brian Uter, who is a good contact if you've got a specific lateral question. His number is 781-4473, and that's given on that 24-hour phone line. And then for other if you want to interact with the county, LOCAC meetings, the county is there to present, and you can interact with them there to get more information. So one of the things that we'd like to do also is thank people for observations during the construction. We've actually had two individuals document incidents with photographs. In both cases, water trucks were observed hooking up to district fire hydrants, which is a big no-no. As a result, we were able to immediately contact Paul Gallagher at ARB and John Waddell regarding the issue. We were quite satisfied with their response, and we feel that this issue is being dealt with satisfactorily. So we would like to thank Lindy Owen and Lee Sutter for being good stewards of our community, and we encourage other people in the community to keep an eye out. We don't want people hooking up to fire hydrants, and I know the other purveyors would be quite appreciative of that type of reporting that type of activity as well. With that, that is it. That is my little informative presentation. So does the board have any questions? All right. With that, you have a question?
You're on. Okay. Did we ask Dig Los Osos to make this presentation?
We did ask them, and they declined to do so, and then we thought this, got to thinking that this, this is the type of information that we need, and it would be probably more efficient for us in terms of our water business to just present this information that we're looking for and let people know where to get it. Also, there is information on the back table. I wanted to mention that for people want to take that with them or hand it out to people they know that maybe don't have internet or something like that.
Well, I encourage us to still ask Diglos Osos to come here every month because it's more than that information that's up there. This is an ongoing project, another year and a half. It's not perfect right now, and so this is just another opportunity for them to hear the feedback on how they can present their information better and the types of questions that are out there. And so my experience and people of the community who have relayed their experience is that this is still very lacking in what they can do.
Yeah. Any other questions from the board? Okay. Take some public comment on this now, if anybody has any public comment on the presentation.
Richard Margetson, Leonard, I applaud your effort. The information is helpful, but first of all, LOCAC, by the time it's recorded and starts replaying, is shown on your television station 1/3 of the time that the CSD replays. They have an opportunity, and I asked numerous times for them to come out and take advantage of 2 replays a day. For an entire month. That's 60 opportunities to get the message out. You know, the information you gave is numbers and places to call and how to find out your street. There's people out there that don't have a clue about the toilet retrofit program. There's homes being sold here in town where the realtors don't even know that they can get the retrofit upon sale requirements paid for by the project. Their clients are picking up the cost of that. That's just one example. But for you to ask them and them to just flat out refuse or not answer the question and wait to get back to you at a later time is totally irresponsible from the county's side of things. This is the venue. You are, okay, LOCAC representatives are elected. But I think we all know that the true elected officials from this community is the CSD. And they should be here. And you guys have a stake in this financially. This project is going to affect the CSD in this community financially. It's not going to affect LOCAC financially. It's going to affect the CSD financially. And when all is said and done, and all the bills are added up, and they're divided out by the number of properties in this community, there's not going to be a bill being paid by the county. It's going to be paid by the people of this community that own property. I applaud the effort again. I hope it gets better as time goes on. But you have to put pressure on it. And my advice is that a couple of you go to the Board of Supervisors and bring it up in front of the other supervisors, because when I mentioned this last Tuesday, Debbie Arnold was taken aback. I mean, she sat back in her chair and looked at me like, what? They refusing? I think you need to put the pressure on. This is the perfect venue for free for them to get the message out.
Thank you.
Good evening, Lindy Owen. And free sounds really good, but they're actually, this HDR company is receiving, I've said it many times, $7.6 million to handle the construction management, and there's a PR element. The PR, I believe, is $1.55 million. They have money. They're in their big sales pitch. They talked about how they would be at farmers market. They would have teas. They'd be at all these venues. We would have postcards. We would have weekly updates. We have nothing. We're being basically ripped off. they're being paid to do something that we're not receiving. And the thing that bothers me the most, I mean, maybe they have a great website. I personally don't like going to those things, and it's also hard for me to figure out how they where they want you to keep going to get the information. But there are a ton of seniors and people that do not use computers in this town. In other words, they have access to zero information. We got a brochure, glossy brochure, 2 months ago. I mean, that's all they have. And most of these people keep asking questions about laterals because they don't know what it means. And they should know what it means. If this project goes through and puts the laterals in the wrong place, the homeowner is the one who has to figure out how to get attached to it. It'll be too late. They're not going to come back and go, oh, sorry, we put it in the wrong place. Homeowners are under the belief that they had all these laterals arranged from the last project. This is so different, this project. They don't have the laterals in the correct places, and they have engineers going around trying to see where those errors are. But they asked why they couldn't put in an upper aquifer well. Mr. Gibson said that wasn't their responsibility. It's the purveyors.
Thank you.
Good evening. I'm Julie Tacker, and thank you for a gallant attempt at trying to inform the community. HDR is the construction management firm, a $7.6 million contract. $5.5 million of that was to be on the customer relations and the interaction with each home and each homeowner. $1.6 million of that contract has already been spent. So do you feel like you're being, like you're getting your money's worth? I certainly don't, and my phone's ringing off the hook. There's other parts of the project that I think would be interesting to the public. We put in a tremendous amount of mitigation measures for archaeology, for snails, for the dust. But we haven't had those kinds of reports to say, you know, what they're finding, what the successes of the project are, what the failures of the project are, an outreach of how maybe our ideas could make it better. Nobody's asking for that. And the idea that LOCAC would take it up as maybe a subcommittee, they flat out refused when one of the members suggested that they might do that. So LOCAC themselves doesn't want to touch it. But there are surprise grinder pumps happening. People are being caught off guard. You know, the grinder pump list was established back in 2003 and 4. And now there are people who never knew that they needed a grinder pump, don't even know what one is, are being told that they need one. I'd like to speak to the stolen water. You said that the district is satisfied. Well, I'd like to hear the explanation of what is satisfactory after someone has stolen your water. That's a crime. Is someone going to jail? Is someone paying restitution? What's the compensation to the district for that theft? And when it was brought to the supervisor's attention, Mr. Gibson assured the other supervisors that it only happened twice. It only happened twice, and it happened to be caught on film. That's impossible. It happened numerous times, and it wasn't caught on film. And the conditions of approval for the project: non-potable water was to be used for dust control where feasible. Ladies and gentlemen, the upper aquifer is polluted in Los Osos. It's non-potable. It's readily available. If it takes South Bay, there's places all over town where non-potable water is available. The sewer plant at Sea Pines. I want assurance, and I've asked the county and I haven't gotten it, and maybe we can get it here, is that potable water for dust control has ceased. Thank you.
Tim Litzel. Thank you for doing that about the Big Los Osos. And there's a problem that we have here, and I want to make sure it has been mentioned, but that it is known that people do not know about Big Los Osos. You may have the beautifulest site in the world, but it's useless. You may as well not have it at all if people do not know about it. I have done a survey of my neighborhood, and out of the 25 people I talked to, 2 knew about it. What good does it do to have a wonderful site? We need some outreach. We've got to get into the papers or whatever it takes. I'm no advertising man, but I know that having a wonderful product does not mean that it's going to sell unless you advertise it. Simple as that. That's very, very necessary. I don't want to be, I don't really mind a lot, but I don't want to be, because it's an indication of a terrible thing, the clearinghouse for people that are having problems with the sewer. Or I don't want to be the person going around the neighborhood advising people what to do or not to do because they don't know about this. So please, please get some information out there about this in other formats. And yes, a lot of people do not use computers. Now, are we talking about just this, or is this a general comment just time?
General comments coming next.
Okay. Well, let it be said, or let it be noted, that the roads in the construction areas, the dust is abysmal, it is terrible, I have allergies, it's acting up. A friend of mine had valley fever right in this town just a couple of years ago, so it is in this town, and it needs to be extra caution here. The way the roads are paved is, or not paved, is abysmal. They are not properly watered. They are not proper.
5 years, and I'm a swimmer, and I'm here as a representative of the Morro Bay Community Pool Foundation, just to let everyone know a couple of things. The first thing is that we are doing a major fundraiser a week from Saturday for the pool operations for the Estero Bay. Foundation is in partnership with the city of Morro Bay, the school district, Coast School District, and the county. And we're in the process of negotiating an agreement and foundation to build a pool, a public year-round pool at the Morro Bay Elementary School site. And we're in the process of gaining a grant for $5 million. But the total construction cost is going to be about $10 million to build a pool. But I wanted to really, more than anything else, well, 2 things. The first thing I wanted to let you know is that we are in the process of changing our name to the Estero Bay Community Pool Foundation, because one public pool, such as what is proposed, is enough for our population. All the feasibility studies that have been done the last 10 years indicate that one public pool, 25 meters, will meet the needs of our community. So that's why we're making that effort to represent the entire community of the North Coast. But I did want to leave this. Those of you that have ever driven up and down Highway 1 and north of Cayucas have driven by the Borradori Garage. I did it for 25 years as I worked at Hearst Castle. Never had an opportunity to go in it. Well, this is our second year to have our fundraiser with Cayuga Cellars and their Zinfandel festival at the Borradori. So if you want to go to the Borradori Garage and have a good time, I would suggest you do that. And go. So I'm going to leave the brochure here for people to know. Tickets are available. It's a week from Saturday. And we are having an auction. Last year, the proceeds from the auction paid for free lap swimming for adults at Hardy Park Pool on the weekends, as well as aqua aerobics programs for free during the week, so for seniors. So we're cognizant of our responsibility to the entire community, and we hope people will join us for Zin Festival fundraiser. Thank you. Do you have any questions?
Yeah. Why don't we have a question?
Lindy Owen from Los Osos here. I wanted to start off with something nice and positive. The other night across the street, I have some neighbors, a disabled neighbor, and occasionally the fire department comes by and there's issues. And anyway, the other night there was a fire truck pulled up and I was, oh no, raced over, and I said, is everybody okay? And they said, oh yeah, we're just bringing a belt by. I said, what? Well, you know, X person fell in the morning we saw him, and he mentioned that he needed a new belt. And I said, and you went and bought him a belt and you're bringing it over? It was like at 6:30 at night on their lunch break, I think. I just wanted to say what an awesome small town, you know, neighborly, caring group of fire department we have. I just wanted to thank Teddy Borja, I think, Borja is his name. Anyway, very kind thought, you know, and taking care of our handicapped people. And then I wanted to go back to, of course, the troubles with this construction, which I think is pretty much hitting everybody's lives. The dust control, definitely, they're beginning to cover up some streets because the complaints and air quality, the air quality district, air control quality,
air pollution
district has come in and noted that it was so bad that it was unacceptable. And we do have the spores of the valley fever in this area. So it's extremely dangerous for people that have asthma and are susceptible to immune diseases. But just an example, I mean, I think what enrages me the most throughout this whole process is that if we had done the step system, and I know crying over milk, spilled milk is silly, but if we had done that, the potholing that's going on 7th Street, that would be the installation of our system. The piping would have been put in, and we wouldn't have torn up streets. We wouldn't have all this dust, and the waste is just one amazingly phenomenal thing. The only hope that I could have is in the future that something stops this project and that we go revisit the step collection technology, because we could still do it and we'd be way ahead. Again, I would hope that you can go to the supervisors.
These consultants go. This basin has been mismanaged, and you and Golden State are the primary players in the ISJ. You can look at each other across the table, enter into an agreement, just the two of you, and be able to better manage the basin than the outside forces of the Big Bad County and the roadblocks and missteps that they really have driven the ISJ through. And I think the consultants are part of it. Somehow they're afraid of the county, or someone's afraid of the county. And I was on the board that implemented the ISJ. We had high hopes. But we also had 10 years of gentlemanly table agreements on and off with Golden State. And things seemed to be working, and we had a plan. We were going to have an intertie long before now. You know, an intertie is this for the safety of both of our systems. It doesn't make sense that it's taken this long. So I looked at our utility report. The South Bay well thing has kind of fallen off the discussion. I'd like to know where we're at with that grant thing and if we're really going to drink our upper aquifer. Because if we are, we should hurry up and do it before they need to dewater it. Kidding. So anyway, I've expressed my frustration before with these consultants and the ISJ, and I'd just like someone to just pull the trigger and either do it or don't. There was other metaphors I could have used.
Thank you.
Richard Margetson, the last comment on your presentation about the wastewater project information made me think that, and maybe Craig is familiar with this, but why aren't this community basically has two access roads? It has South Bay Boulevard and Los Osos Valley Road. Is there any restriction for them putting up a sign, a lighted sign that says, any questions about the wastewater project, dig Los Osos, blah, 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 and the phone number under it, and having that just run constantly you know, round the clock from now till the time it's completed? I mean, maybe there's some restriction on that, but unless I miss it, and I drive all around this town all day, I haven't seen anything like that. And maybe I've missed it, but they do have the sign on South Bay Boulevard that Santa Isabel is closed. You know, that sign's there constantly, but why there couldn't be another sign? Anyway, something to maybe ask them about or request. And have the phone number on there, too, the main phone number. The other thing is, even the little bit of information that comes out at LOCAC from Mr. Gibson is usually something to the effect of, well, you know, we're in the process of the sewer construction and there'll be more things coming in the future and blah, blah, blah. But never really anything concrete. I mean, never, you know, opening it up to, you know, this is what's happening this month. And it was pretty startling to hear him say that he and John Waddell had driven around the community to look at some of the issues that had come up, and, you know, it sounded like he was helping John come up with a list to then instruct the contractors on to get corrected. That's the construction manager's job. At $7.8 million, it shouldn't take 10 days for somebody to get out there and realize that on Mountain View there's sand blowing. Anytime a wind comes up, it blows all over the neighborhood because they're not watering down the streets or have not repaved them. Those are things that the construction management team should be on top of. This isn't a project that's encompassing all of LA County or, you know, San Francisco. You can get from one end of this town to the other in, what, less than 2 miles? 3 miles? These things should not be happening, especially at the cost we're paying.
Thank you. Any more public comment? Seeing none, we'll close public comment. And we are going to go into our administrative and committee reports. We'll start with the fire department.
Update on hazard abatement. We were, as you'll hear in the emergency services update in a couple minutes, we did receive notice from the county that we will be able to proceed with hazard abatement activities in and around Cabrillo. Those will be coming up in mid-March. Predicted dates right now are March 18th through the 22nd. So one of the things that we're working very quickly to do, since this just came out, those dates came out today, is to notify the public in the area that there will be crews working, and to notify the landowners. The two landowners right now, one's a private and one is a county, and we're working on getting those notifications out as well. So it's a continuation of the project we've been doing for the last year and a half now, and I'm very excited that it will continue. We estimate to get probably 4 to 5 weeks of crew time up there spread out through mid-March, a couple weeks in April, and one in the end of May. And then they'll have more time after July 1st when the new fiscal year comes around and there's new allocations. As while we're talking about chipping, the Los Osos Community Services District, in cooperation with CAL FIRE, will be doing chipping a little bit differently this year. Instead of having a single chipping day on Fairchild, we'll be going out and working with the individual landowners. So we're strongly encouraging the landowners who have brush and trees in the Yuke Groves and in the higher areas where they can do some thinning to either start thinning themselves or to hire contractors and pile it all out. And then I believe we have 4 days of a chipping crew, and the chipping crew will hopefully be very busy going from parcel to parcel and chipping on site and leaving the chips on site for those people. We can't cut them. We can't cut it for you. But if they cut it and get it out to the road, we'll chip it. And, you know, if you've got big piles, we'll chip big piles. If you've got little piles, we'll chip little piles. We'll chip away. So we can start that process, and we believe that will be sometime in May. That concludes all the verbal stuff I have for you. Looking at the chief's report, in January, the fire department at Station 15 responded to a total of 108 calls, 6 of those being simultaneous or back-to-back calls. Of those, 5 required advanced life support. 76 for medical aids, 43 requiring vets life support, 5 traffic collisions, and 5 additional incidents reported as fires. Company 15 came back a total of 8 times to support the full-time staff at Station 15. As I discussed at the last board meeting, I would present the 2012 totals to you, and so here they are in this report as well. In 2012, Station 15 responded to a total of 1,259 calls. That's the busiest year since I've been here. Of those, 61 were simultaneous calls, and of those 61 calls, 30 were required advanced life support from your paramedics. Of the 1,259 calls, 866 were medical aid, 482 requiring advanced life support. 36 were traffic collisions, and 61 were reported as fires. Company 15 came back a total of 131 times to support the full-time staff. Administrative-wise, firefighter Curtis Hames submitted a letter of resignation. Recently, he was married and is now relocating to Southern California, and we will miss Curtis Hames quite a bit. He was a good steady hand. We've been reporting the last couple months, we did receive in January the Firefighters Fund grant for $10,000, and I can tell you that as of today, we've purchased 2 of the 3 things we look to purchase. We've purchased the laryngoscopes, and we're working on the carbon monoxide detectors. I believe that we'll have those in our hands in the coming days. We're going to purchase those through Miners, and I'd like to give a special thanks to Miners Hardware. We were able to purchase, I believe my numbers are correct, we were able to purchase 30 to 35 carbon monoxide detectors with the money provided through the grant, and Miners is going to front another 15 free of charge for delivery. With the goal of getting those into low-income and senior citizen homes in the district. So thank you very much, Miners. We're working on the boots purchase as well. Turning the page, number of training occurred in the month of January. We sent some individuals to Monterey to do a fire prevention class. We sent a couple down to San Diego to work with the USAR FEMA teams, the Urban Search and Rescue FEMA team instructors. Both these individuals from Station 15, Tim Wilcox and Neil Moriarty, are San Luis County Urban Search and Rescue team members, and they were trained by some of the FEMA task force down at this class. It's a very good class, and this is the first time we've ever had that training for any of our folks in San Luis County that I'm aware of. Did a CPR class for the drill, and continue with our continued professional training for Captain Wilcox, and that I believe that concluded the end of our all the full-time staff with their CPTs. Some special projects, we continue to work to hire the firefighters, the reserve firefighters, as we've been talking about the last couple months. This is now an updated, corrected copy, and I believe if you approve, we'll submit it. And then there's a couple news articles that were regarding Station 15 and the Emergency Services Advisory Committee. That concludes my written and verbal report. Is there any questions that I can answer for you?
Any questions? No?
Thank you very much.
Good. Thank you, Chief. Okay. We have the Utilities Department report.
Good evening, President Muthart, board, staff, and public. My name is Margaret Faulkner, and I'm the interim general manager for the district right now. The items on this agenda is a report for the month of January for the Utilities Department. Total production for the January 2013 was 15.3 million gallons, which equates to an average daily demand of 492,500 gallons. And this represents a decrease in production from last year by 20%. And 57% of the service area received bills for 16.2 million gallons for the period December 12th through February 13th. Revenue was $132,434, and this is a decrease in both revenue and consumption by 1.7% and 16%, respectively. The tables for production and pumping hours are reflected here showing a decrease in pumping from Palisades, and also if you notice the well at 8th and El Moro, due to it being fumigated for termites, so they had to shut it off for a little while. And the CDP requires that we test for the water before we can put it back in service, which is, you know, obvious. So the crews were busy with upgrading water services on 4th Street and repairing two main line breaks at 11th and 8th Street. And then if you go into the drainage section, the crews cleared drainage inlets around town and did some routine groundskeeping. And there was just about 1 inch of rain for the month of January, and that was measured down at the yard. As far as the MS4 permit is concerned, I heard some good news from one of the regional board members yesterday, so it will not be such an onerous task for me to update our swamp. We'll be able to use our swamp as one of the guidance documents. So it made me feel a lot better. As far as wastewater is concerned, I did speak to John Waddell regarding turning over the subdivisions of Vista de Oro and Bay Ridge to the county. I was told by him that he's got the utility engineer that's looking at the videos right now, and I told him that we're considering a 218 process, but the thing that we'll bring that back to the board right now or later. But the one thing I did ask was how soon would they be able to take over, and he said he thinks, not the end of this fiscal year, which is June. They're on the same fiscal year calendar as we are, but he thinks possibly early next fiscal year. So I asked him, can you promise me that? He said he would try to get things rolling, and we'll see if we can do it before the end of the calendar year. So that to me was good, but it was just verbal. So we'll see what happens. We're going to try whatever we can to get these systems, because what we get right now with the assessments and their tax revenue is enough just to maintain the systems. But if we have one more pump go down or any major problem, we're not going to be able to. We have nothing in reserves, so as you know. We have to borrow from other funds. So I did explain that to him, and he also reminded me that people who live there in those two subdivisions are getting a big break on their wastewater assessments. So, they need to be aware that their infrastructure is like 30 years old. But we'll see what happens. So this concludes my report right now for the Utilities Department, and I'm here to answer any questions.
Are there any questions?
I have one. What's the status of the upper aquifer grant?
I just got an email today from another person at the Department of Public Health asking for some more information. So it's going through all of their channels. It was caught up in environmental for a while, but now she's asking for financial information. So I think they're moving forward.
Thanks.
Sweet Springs, there was a hearing that was calendared, been postponed to March 15. Problem was that the Fish and Game representative was not available. There was, of course, some concern that the notice to the public was really not appropriate. It was canceled the day before, and rightly so, I think. There were questions about the data being used for the water data being used for the community plan that we're beginning to look at, and we were assured that the 2004 data was being used as a starting point and was being updated. Let's see. The supervisor's report touched on those items. On the wastewater project being, going forward full bore, which we all see. There were questions raised, significant questions by the public and by members of the council about traffic and dust issues, and some of them, you know, were not immediately addressed. Questions were also raised about emergency services problems, about access when streets are blocked off or congested. And then we received a report from you all, Mr. Wright, thank you. The regular agenda addressed the Sea Pines development, which had come before us once before and been rejected. It was modified. The major modification was the setback of the proposed horse corrals from the boundary of the property being 75 feet instead of 25 feet, and some landscaping put around them to try to control the impact on the community. It was a fairly lively discussion, and the council approved the project, 7-1 with one abstention. We were also asked to look into the San Isabel traffic calming project, which was completed, what was it, 2-3 years ago, and has essentially been ripped up completely, or pretty completely. We were requested to weigh in on making sure that this is put back in place, and in fact that it be done this time by implementing the entire plan. There were some raised crosswalks and things that would have been very useful in calming traffic that were rejected at the time, and we are at least going to try to support that. We referred it to committee to get out a letter as quickly as possible to the county to indicate our support. We had a regular committee report. One item that did come up at the end was whether or not LOCAC should and can create a process for monitoring the wastewater project, focused more on process, so that the community, so that we could know that there are processes in place within the project and being followed that will assure us that we're making sure we don't, as much as possible, draw from the upper aquifer, that in fact there is a program in place, and it's an understandable program for dust control, that it's understandable how the process is going on, and all the various other things. We obviously, we're not in a position to manage anything, but we can't possibly, we could be useful to the community in interacting with the project and monitoring, making sure that there are internal processes to take care of the concerns the community has, and to make sure that they're actually being followed. The obviously, we couldn't deal with it immediately. It had just been brought up, but it was referred to both our land use and traffic and circulation committees, and that should be taken up. The beginnings of it should be taken up before the next meeting. Then we adjourned at 10:20. Any questions?
Any questions? Go ahead.
Thank you for the report. And again, it's the same thing I echoed earlier, and it's pointed out that could LOCAC invite Dig Los Osos every month to the meeting? And it's just a visibility for them to.
Implementation, and they said 7 to 10 days, and got a check in the mail. So. I appreciate your concern very much, and I think I'm going to see what I can do to move LOCAC along, and I think possibly between the two organizations and the rest of the community, a little prodding wouldn't hurt and is often constructive, especially if it's courteous.
Yeah, my experience, same as you, is everybody who knows of the retrofit and has gone through it, it's been a seamless process. But as Mr. Wetzel pointed out, a lot of people don't know of it.
Right.
Right.
So we'll do what we can. Hopefully you'll do what you can. And as it spreads throughout the community, maybe it'll be more effective. Anything else I can?
Well, I attended as our representative, and I just want to say, Paul, you did a good job.
And
I was impressed with the numbers, the community that turned out. It was a pretty full house. And I think it's a really good forum, particularly if the public wants to interact with the county, because Supervisor Gibson's there. And hopefully, I think engineering staff was not.
No.
And that's unfortunate, but it's a good forum to be able to interface with them instead of the supervisor's meeting. And I was also impressed with the Sea Pines project, and I think it's going to be a really good project.
Hopefully so.
Hopefully so. And
There were objections, of course, but then,
right.
You know.
But they were accommodating. I think that was one thing that was...
They were accommodating, and it's better than it was.
Right.
You need business in the community, and they, you know... The real answer is to make horses that... Don't drop anything on the street and levitate themselves to the trails.
Exactly.
Could I do that? We would all be, you know.
Happy. No, but it was a very good meeting.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Paul. I have the Emergency Services Advisory Committee meeting report.
Okay. ESAC, we met on February 26th at 5:30 at Station 15. We had all committee members present. We now have a full committee, which is nice. We welcomed a new committee member, Jerry Dillingham, and he introduced himself. And Jerry's a retired 35-year reserve firefighter here in Los Osos. He's also a small businessman here in town, and so we welcome him. We reviewed the fire fund financials, and we recommended that the board here accept them. And as Chief Ranares did say, he updated us on the progress of the fire truck. Still looking like for mid-June. I went on the website today, and it's looking good. I like the grill. The grill is nice. Yeah, it's a different look. The committee reviewed and forwarded to the board the ESAC 2013 goals, and we also are working on our mission statement, and we'll be discussing that and bringing it back to us later. Margaret conducted the annual review of the Ralph M. Brown Act for all the committee. Love that process. Well, Jerry needed it. Chief Ranares reviewed the recent developments discussed at our local fire focus group, and as he mentioned, we just found out today we got approval for the Upper Broderson area. And it's just as a side note, too, our local fire focus group does a really good job on our community as far as helping get funds for our various projects. We also, at the fire committee, we also discussed the county's removal of our CWPP, which is the Community Wildfire Protection Plan abatement projects, for their habitat conservation plan, or our habitat conservation plan. And we're going to be bringing that back to our next meeting after Member Tacker reviews the previous HCP draft. And we're going to be staying on that. We also reviewed the SRA fee letter that we have tonight in our packet on the consent agenda. We had a couple minor changes that were suggested by the committee and are incorporated into the letter. And our next meeting is set for Tuesday, March 26th, which is a week later than normal due to scheduling, at 5:30 at Station 15. Thank you.
Thank you. Utilities Advisory.
Yes, the Utilities Advisory Committee met February 13th at the CSD offices and started about approximately 5:30. It's noted that the Acting General Manager Faulkner, let me start over. The board acted on a UAC recommendation that the Acting General Manager keep up with the status of counties of drainage efforts. So the board to review the timeline and the rates, and it was much discussion, and it was asked, how is the board addressing
the negative impact the wastewater project has had on the utility staff. And so that was a question that was prominent during the discussions. I had to step out about 6:30, and Director Vogel took over where the priorities for the committee were established, and they're in the agenda for tonight.
Okay. And so our task was to prioritize goals for the UAC. If people haven't noted, the UAC is an exceptionally talented group of people who basically work during the day doing utilities work and then donate their time in the evening once a month to help out the community. So we spent a considerable amount of time prioritizing our goals. The number one goal was to review revised Title II regulations. That's the board's regulations with regard to water. One of the things is the leak adjustments, for example, and that may be looked at carefully. Initiate discussion with county on the recycled water revenue was number two. Evaluate water conservation funding and potential projects was our third priority. And it went on, conduct a joint FAC-UAC meeting or meetings on specific projects, in particular the Bay Ridge Estates and Vista del Oro, or De Oro, with regard to the Prop 218 protest. Then track progress of the CIP revenue plan and combine CIPs from the water master plan. CIPs are capital improvement projects. Monitor progress of the county's water conservation implementation plan. Review impacts on revenue from potential transfer of the solid waste franchise to the county. And it went on. We established 13 priorities to look at. We also took action in recommending that the board appoint committee members Floyd Evans and Vice Chairman Vogel to a subcommittee to revise the district's Title II regulations or to propose revisions to the board. And so at this, I would ask that the president appoint this subcommittee.
Okay. Are there any questions from any other board members regarding that?
Appointment
of the thing. Yeah.
They had two people who had technical expertise, and then they figured they needed a lawyer on board. So I got that.
What's the procedure for this?
Generally, you've been doing all your board appointments as an agenda item. In terms of creating these committees, those are generally within the power of the president to do, subject to board approval. If you wanted to at least make that recommendation, that would be part of your consent calendar to next meeting.
Okay, I would like to make that recommendation that we form the subcommittee as described.
Did
you get that in?
Are you saying that it needed board action to appoint the... It's a subcommittee. It's not a committee. It's a subcommittee of the standing committee.
Right. Well, you've been doing, since I've been here at least, watching the process, you've been doing board approval on almost every aspect of these committees. What the bylaws provide is that the board president makes those recommendations subject to the approval of the board.
Okay. I had thought it was an appointment by the president himself that it didn't need board approval.
Your board has been considering, and in fact tonight are also considering further appointments to these
boards.
Those are standing committees, though. This is just a subcommittee of the stand. Oh, okay.
Okay. That shouldn't have any effect. I mean,
we won't have the ability to really work on it in the interim, and it's something that had been prioritized as needing attention.
I wouldn't suggest that you don't that you stop work on this. By putting that on a consent calendar, I think it's sort of...
Okay. I mean, right, and...
Just right, undercut.
Well, isn't the utility crew about, what, a month away from completing the tagging of the water lines? Is that...
My understanding is, yes, they're pretty close to marking the whole service area.
Yeah.
Already, they've got so many headings.
That's the most intense use right now.
Yes.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Thank you.
Okay. We have the Financial Advisory Committee meeting, and I hope I don't butcher this too much because I just got the minutes when I sat down here after closed session. We did have a meet. The Financial Advisory Committee did meet March 4th. We had three members there, and we approved the minutes, and we reviewed the warrants for the month. There was three items that were brought out that were high expenditures, one due to the bankruptcy activity, and one doing having to do with the we had to replace a tank at Vista de Oro. And the third item had to do with a bond register payment for U.S. Bank. Financial statements, we reviewed those. One of the things that was outstanding there was the report from district accountant that for all 5 months since September 1st, 2012, when the 12% increase went into effect, the increase was only 3.42%. And it was reported that this trend of budgeted revenue may be underrealized by at least $100,000 a year. So we're saving a lot more water than we even thought we would be able to do. Financial statements. I think that was what I was just reporting on. The next item here is we discussed the rewarding of the contract for audit services, which is on our agenda tonight. We reported that the firm Moss, Levy & Hartzman Hartzheim was selected. We moved a CD to Rabobank. We approved that recommendation. We did one good news item here that Acting General Manager Faulkner reported that the district requested $26,145 to upgrade the equipment for the district's public access channel 20, also known as the PEG Fund. And the agreement is that we would receive $30,000 for that funding. That was a long, arduous process that is coming to completion in a favorable way. We discussed the allocation of administrative funds. This is going to be an ongoing discussion with the Financial Advisory Committee, how to reallocate or how to properly allocate funds to cover administrative costs. And that's all I have for the report. Are there any questions? All right, seeing none. I want to, let's see, what have we got? Any director's announcements from district community interests, reports on attendance, public meetings, training programs, conferences, and seminars? Any other reports, meetings, RAC, or anything like that? No? Okay. Then at this time, what I'd like to do is just do a quick pull of the poll of the board here, if they had anything that they would be planning on pulling on the, from the consent agenda.
Public comment.
I'm going to have public comment, but I just wanted to get a quick poll to see if there was anything before, so that way we can.
Yeah. Well, I just had a suggestion on the letter that we're sending out, but can that be done?
We can do that when we talk about the consent. I just want to get, if anybody knows for sure, then that way the public can comment on it separately. Okay.
And that we have sort of another update on the bankruptcy. It's been a few months or more since we've heard anything about the bankruptcy, and there has been some activity on the bankruptcy. So love to hear about that. And for the most part, I'm satisfied with your reports tonight. Thanks.
Thank you. Any other public comment? Will there be any other public comment after Richard? Is anybody? Okay.
I'm Richard Margetson. It was discussed at Finance about the increased billing for our legal, and we were informed that a good portion of that for that billing period was also dealt with your addressing the situation with your previous general manager. So it probably we were informed that it would probably go down next month and the months after. I just want to, just for clarification, Craig, we did talk about the CPI projects in relation to the water rate subcommittee and the increased a future increase and stuff, but it was my understanding we were going to look at the effects earlier than 2 years in a 2-year rotation, because Leonard brought up about the reduction in revenue, and when the rate committee looked at establishing the rates, Ron Munns and I came up with, which we thought we were, maybe stretching it a little bit, that we might not hit that number for a reduction in production and consumption of 5% per year. And I just checked the numbers in the staff report. Production's down 9.2% for the year so far to this point, because of the billing cycles, the way they're set up, with it not being an even split each month. We're going to need to wait till later in the year to find out how that's going to affect the consumption number, but it should be close to that number. That could be almost, that could almost be double the assumption we use. And, we were a little afraid to go out on a limb at 5. There's been some studies in this county that the consultant advised that consumption would only go, I know the Oceano rate increase that they did a couple years ago, the original recommendation from the consultant is that consumption would only drop 1% a year for the next 3 years of their study. Anyway, I think it's something that needs to be addressed in conjunction with everything that's related to it with the capital improvement projects. And we keep hearing from the consultants and the county that, yes, Los Osos is, they are conserving some water and blah, blah, blah. Can I just finish this sentence?
Please be
brief. It hasn't been just a little. This decrease so far this year works out to almost 40 acre feet for just this utility. If Golden State's hitting that same number, it's huge. That's huge.
Thank you. And thank you for bringing that up. I was going to add the part about the personnel matters. bring it back to the board. Any comments?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just to respond to Richard, just as I understand it, and we can take back to committee to confirm, the water rate subcommittee timeline for the CIPs and projected costs were to be included in the annual status report update from the general manager, but the actual subcommittee review was suggested to review it every 2 years. So the timeline was still being considered every year in it, but that was just within the staff, and the actual expertise of our committee would look at it about every 2 years. And, my own recollection, one was, because we just went through a rate increase, so let's let the rate increase see where it goes first. So anyway, thank you, Richard.
Any other comments? Mm-hmm. Okay, can I get a motion to accept the, I don't know the wording, to accept the consent agenda? Is that what I'm,
to approve the consent agenda?
Okay, so moved.
Seconded by... Okay, we're going to move on to our general action items now.
Do we have a vote?
Oh, do we have a vote for that?
Yes.
I apologize.
Is it a resolution?
No, I thought it was only for resolutions.
I thought it was only for resolutions.
I'm sorry, sir?
It's a voice vote.
Oh, what did you get?
Okay, I did not take a vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? None. Unanimous?
I did. I got the motion. Mm-hmm. For
the motion was from Director Vogel. And
Baltimore. Yeah. Thank you. Director.
Okay. We will go on to general action item A, dispute of general manager's determination for additional relief of water leak adjustment. We'll have a report.
Do I report first, or do I ask if they come up? I'm not sure what the protocol is. Okay. Okay, I have a report for on January 18th. Customer Mrs. Seligson, and I apologize if I'm not pronouncing the name correctly, contacted the district in regards to a high water bill, and a service request was issued. One of the crew went out and checked and said there was no leak, but she'd had a really large amount of water that had gone through the meter. So she submitted a claim requesting a credit on her account to bring it down to her normal bill. So I responded with what is allowed in Title II, which is the 50%. The difference between let me read this one because it's what it says in our code is that the general manager is to review applications for leak adjustments and provide relief as a credit up to 50% of the differential of the highest billing period invoice during the tenure of the leak and the average of all invoices for the customer over the last 12-month period. So I went ahead and I did that and I provided that to her. And she did send back another letter asking for it to be further go to the board. So it's at your, it's in your plate right now. And if she's here, she can come and talk to it too.
Is
I have a question.
Yeah, I just have a quick question.
Okay, a quick question from the board.
Part of the statement here is she said the meter registered incorrectly. We verified that the meter is there was no issue with the meter.
We did not test the meter. There's a $150 deposit for it. I suggested against it because the age of the meter they usually slow down, and so we didn't go that route.
Okay.
Because
okay.
I would have ended up getting another $150 from her probably.
So that's the same thing. Let me just make sure I understand this. So if somebody wants their meter tested, they put down a $150 deposit.
Mm-hmm.
If the meter tests wrong, such that the meter needs to be replaced, they get their $150 back and the meter is replaced. If the meter tests properly or still functioning, then they forfeit the $150.
That's it.
Okay. And then, okay. And also, and in this, and when
there's a billing issue like this and it's shown to be the meter, then the whole amount of overcharge is refunded? Or is it still half?
It's at the discretion of the board. I can only do what I've done.
Okay, so they'll just say the meter was working improperly and then it comes back to the board?
If the meter's improper, then they get their 150 back. Yeah, I'd have to look that up in Title II.
Okay. All right, thank you. So,
do you remember?
The point that was made was that when these meters tend to fail, they tend to
push.
Right.
Speed up.
Well, one more question. Has the new billing cycle concluded?
I don't.
It looks like this was in January that she reported it, so.
So they're getting ready to read. Did they? They're on Monday.
Next week. Around the 10th of the month.
Yeah.
Okay.
Have we had any meters go bad?
Never. Every time we've taken one out and tested it, it's come back 98%.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, you know, within the parameters of the.
Mm-hmm. So it's your.
So it was just in my. I've been here since 2003 and watched people do this, and so I didn't want to take another $150 that I know she would probably have lost. We're getting ready to switch out anyway because of the age of the meter, so she will get a new one
mm-hmm.
eventually.
Okay.
Can be more accurate.
Yep. Yeah. Is the complainant here or the?
Consumed in the course of a two-month period. I went and inspected all the plumbing in the property, and I found a few minor leaks in a drip irrigation system that, when I tested them, and this was pretty archaic testing, putting a 5-gallon bucket out there and seeing how long it would take to fill it up, I calculated that if it had been going on for the whole billing cycle, it probably would have consumed somewhere in the area of 27 units. So that leaves a discrepancy of about 100 units, something like that. This kind of sounds to me like you've got a meter that's maybe ticked over an extra digit in one column. It's kind of a circumstantial thing. But I just don't see where, you know, 100,000 gallons of water, if you think of a gasoline tanker truck going down the road, that's 10 of those full of water. I don't see evidence of that kind of water consumption anywhere on that property. So I'm a little concerned that either the meter's bad or it's been read improperly. In any event, I think it's a little harsh to charge somebody that kind of money for water that I really don't think that they've used or consumed. So I would ask the board to, in their discretion, alleviate some of the cost of this bill. Thank you.
Thank you. You have a question? Yeah. Director Baltimore?
Sorry. Patrick, I didn't get your last name.
It's Fadley.
Fadley?
Yes.
Okay. You said you inspected all the plumbing on property. Did you inspect the plumbing inside the house?
Yes. And since this discrepancy has come up, I've periodically checked the meter myself, and it is tripping along at a rate that would indicate the normal 25 to 30 units of use in a billing cycle. So the meter isn't spinning any faster, and there's no continuing leak to be found anywhere. So it's very curious where this volume of water has passed through the meter and where it's gone. Again, I did a major construction project on the site, and I know that water, it's very close to the bay, so the groundwater level is pretty high, and water doesn't tend to just fall through the sand like it would, say, if you were up on 4th or 5th Street. Once there's a large volume of water, it starts to come to the surface, and it's very evident. So, and no leak was found, and there hasn't been any ongoing consumption. So it's a very odd situation.
Okay. Any other questions? Then bring this back to the board now.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yes.
It appears that the appellant is claiming that the meter is somehow bad. There is a process inside of your policy in regards to if they think that the meter is bad, and it involves that $150 deposit to have it tested. I think if that's the plan, that that would be the direction of the board, is to see if she wants to do that, and perhaps not rule on that tonight, and bring it back to next meeting. But it's just a suggestion.
Would the meter testing be able to detect a clicking of the third digit?
They take the registers off of them when they do the bench test, so it wouldn't show anything.
It's mostly just detecting rate.
It's just flow rate, yes, at different speeds.
Do we have a history of the meters ever clicking over in a higher digit?
No, that's just theory. Yeah.
Would they in the inspection look at the, because it's a mechanical, gear-driven system, do they inspect that to see if the teeth are okay or not?
No, they don't take the register apart.
Okay.
They just pull the whole device off of the top of the meter, and then they put the meter on the bench test and test it at different flow rates. You have low, medium, and high.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. That wouldn't help.
So that doesn't sound like that would really address this issue, especially since the latest readings have been proper or within normal limits.
Now, I'm going to throw something out there.
Okay.
I had this happen to me, and I didn't, because I knew what was going on, and I learned the hard way, so I just paid my bill. a running toilet can actually use this much water over 2 months.
They didn't detect any leaks.
So a twisted stopper that got untwisted. I mean, so it can happen, and then the meter read directly. And so I know it's a huge amount of water, but again, I've personally experienced it.
So we said it would have to be in the irrigation system. So
okay. Thank you. Let's continue with the board discussion.
Well, I don't have a problem with it being continued because I think we're so close to this next billing cycle. I'm curious as to what this next billing cycle is. And I know what you're saying. We had that happen once, too. Mm-hmm. And on the other side of the coin, too, as I mentioned before, we're the only utility in this community that does this rebate process. Golden State will not refund.
Yeah, I mean, we've gotten some, at least what was your name again? Patrick stated that it looked like it was going to be a normal month for them. All indications are that the water passed through the meter at this point. I don't know if waiting another month would really be that productive, unless the customer decided to go for a testing the meter. I think that the adjustment that we've given so far is very fair, because it is water that went through the meter.
Council Sites, do you have any history of how other water districts handled such issues?
Just having gone through this with another district, their policy is considerably different, but achieves essentially the same result. They have a tiered water rate system, and if somebody makes a claim such as this, they go back and look at their average base rate and charge it at whatever that rate would be, and then whatever tier that would be, and then they charge the remainder at the tier two level, which is basically cost of the service. And that would result in a higher number than their policy provides.
Are we, we're doing it at the base rate, or?
No, we allow up to 50% forgiveness.
Yeah.
And if you were to go back and do it at that tier, they would have been charged more.
Right.
In the absence of evidence, you know, to suggest strongly that this was the fault of the meter or the fault of our system, I agree that the policy as it is a generous one and actually may be short-lived. This is a policy we're looking at changing to take away this kind of a benefit. So with the recommendation of the utilities manager for the adjustment at 424, but there I think there was a $5 mistake, and I would ask that that be allocated as well, the additional $5, but I don't see any strong reason at this point to go outside the policy in order to make an adjustment. So my recommendation would be to allocate $430.37 as the adjustment. I would so move.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, you just clarification, you've already authorized 424 under your purview.
Yeah, I
made a math error.
Well, okay, but that's already been allocated out.
Okay.
So just what we're really talking about is $5.82.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Not much.
Okay. Do we have any other public comment on this?
Lindy Owen, as a recipient of a water leak outrageous bill one time, it is very painful to understand that you didn't catch it over a two-month period. But I think we're also in the reality that water is a very expensive item to not be able to make good use of. And never, every week, excuse me, I would never have a water leak again that I got away with. And all it was in my case was a drippy hose that just dripped for the entire 2 months. It's amazing how fast you can lose water. So I feel very bad for them, and I don't know. Just all cross our fingers that we don't have too many more leaks like those.
Thank you. Any other public comment? Seeing none, we'll continue on with the motion.
Then I would move at this point to make an adjustment of an additional $5.82, which would make it a $430.37 adjustment.
Do I have a second?
I'm sorry. I'm just. She's got some money already, and philosophically, I'm against the leak rebate anyway, so I'm not going to support it.
Not support any rebate, or not support the additional $5?
Additional $5.
Oh, okay.
Will not support the motion.
Would you like to make an alternative? It died for want of a second.
I don't know. I will second the motion.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Thank you. Can I get a... Do I have a roll call?
Director Vogel.
Yes.
Director, Vice President Baltimore.
Yes.
Director Wright.
No.
President Muthart.
Yes. Okay, with that, we're going to go on to our next item, which is to ratify the appointment of alternate public members for district standing advisory committees. If I could get a report on this, please. Or do I? Yeah.
You wrote it.
Since the district, the district's received three applications since the appointment of standing advisory committee members at your February 7th meeting. At this time, each of the committees does have five voting members. Therefore, the applicants would be appointed as alternate members. And in accordance with the district's bylaws and rules of decorum, the president shall appoint the alternate public member for each committee. Alternate committee members shall hold office for 1 year, serving without compensation.
Okay. Does the board have any questions?
Are any of the applicants here tonight?
Paul
here?
I should say that there were two applications received for ESAC and one for FAC.
Right. So we
would be all the cons here for finance.
For finance.
Nobody for emergency services?
Does not look like it, no. Okay. Is there any public comment on this item? Okay, seeing none, we bring it back to the board for discussion. Any discussion before I make a decision? The president makes the appointments for alternates. So I will probably go ahead and make an appointment for Paul Mollenkamp for the Financial Advisory Committee. Any other comments?
Well, shouldn't the board ratify your appointment? So I would move that the board ratifies our president's appointments.
Okay, well, I've made one. The second one, I will go ahead and nominate David Douse to the Emergency Services Committee.
Are you appointing?
I'm appointing. I'm sorry, did I say nominate?
Yes.
I must have, or you wouldn't have asked.
You only made one?
Okay. I will. There's two. So I'm appointing David Douse to the Emergency Services Committee as alternate, and Paul Mollenkamp as alternate to the Financial Advisory Committee. That's it. No.
Is there any reason we can't appoint two alternates to the emergency services?
I don't think that's in our bylaws to do.
Just have bylaws say one.
One? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. And we don't need a vote for that or anything.
We ratify.
Or we have to
second to the ratification. My motion.
I'll second.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Unanimous decision.
Richard Martinson, my only comment on this is if Marshall is a member, ends up being a permanent member, and some issue dealing with this district comes before them, and I think you know what issues we're talking about, he will have to recuse himself. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure, because I think we ran into that situation with the potential dissolution of the district back in whatever year that was. You know, I know Marshall has other agendas, but I believe his main responsibility is, at this point, is he was elected by this community to do the best job for this CSD in this community. And I just want to make sure that we're not ending up in an uncomfortable position, because there's been some really tight votes on that board on issues in the past dealing with Los Osos. I'll just leave it at that. I think you can figure out what I'm talking about.
Okay, thank you. Any other public comment? Yes.
Lindy Owen, I would just, it would be nice to see a fresh face on the LAFCO, and I think there's a little bit of history through some of the bankruptcy hearings that Also, LAFCO will be looking at our solid waste franchise, and I'd like to see a fresh face on board. So I just put that out.
Thank you. Any more public comment? Seeing none, I'm closing public comment and bringing it back to the board for discussion.
I'd like to ask counsel if that conflict of interest exists, or what's the experience?
I can't really answer that question. My understanding is that the CK opened as a result of the head Edie not being reelected in the coma, and that this was his seat that was being replaced. There had been a general agreement, unwritten, between the northern special districts and the southern special districts, and the northern special districts includes the coastal region, and that each geographic area usually gets one seat. I'm not against Marshall being a LAFCO representative, but generally the southern representative is appointed by nominated either by Oceano or FOMO as part of what they do down there. But this board is in no way restricted in terms of what they do tonight in terms of nominating Marshall as a seat.
If Marshall were to run for the Board of Supervisors and be elected, would he have to leave LAFCO?
Excuse me, sir, would you check your
Director Vogel, I have no idea whether he'd be required to drop any membership in LAFCO if he is elected to the Board of Supervisors. Just not familiar with that issue to give you any advice.
Okay. Yeah. I think that's...
Go ahead. Are there other special district nominees that you know of?
I heard at another meeting last night that Oceano did not nominate anyone. I know that it is on the NPOMO agenda, I believe, for their meeting next week to consider a nomination. When is the due date for these?
It's end of March. That's what it said.
So, I'm certainly not trying to persuade this board not to nominate Marshall or anyone else. I'm just indicating what historically has been the case.
I think that we're pretty close on the border. We could be considered either one.
It's my feeling, my opinion, my words, that Marshall is a good ambassador for this community in any period of time that he's on the board, however short it might be. It would only benefit the community.
I agree with that.
I agree. I think, Los Osos needs a countywide voice, period.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay, so let's go ahead for a motion.
Okay.
Requesting item.
We have time. It's, I don't...
Just week before, okay.
Yeah. So...
Okay.
And at this time also then I'll go ahead and announce that we're going to reschedule our April meeting for April 18th. That would be, I believe that, not April 11th. We had to move on from April 11th because our general counsel was not available, so we're going for the 18th. We'll continue with the FAC on the 4th.
And also... board representative for this month to LOCAC, I cannot make. And so I believe President Moodhart might be able to switch with me.
We'll switch. I'll take March, and Director Baltimore will take April. Okay. At this time, we'll go to closing board comments. Yes, I'm sorry, Director Vogel.
Well, thank you again to the members of the public for coming out and contributing, and thank you for those at home who take an interest. I would like to see Dig Los Osos have a more visible presence in this community. I agree that just a website is good for those who are computer literate, but they can't assume that's everyone. So I'd like to see them participate at more of our community meetings, and I think we should continue to invite them.
Director Wright, I'm sorry.
Yes, I'd just like as a reminder for people to continue to drive carefully during the construction zones, particularly at night. I've noticed that several of the metal covers are not fully tamped down with asphalt, and they can cause vehicle damage. And also for the community to continue to report illegal hydrant hookups. That's very valuable. And I do agree also we should try to get Dig Los Osos as visible as possible. And don't forget the time change is Sunday.
Is Sunday?
Go ahead, Director Baltimore.
Yeah, I want to thank the public, and this public type of venue allows for information to go out in many different forms. And, for example, today I saw a fire hose being rolled up. I thought it was kind of odd at construction going on, but now it might make sense. So again, thank you all public for your comments and your continued comments throughout the months and years in the past. I again encourage Dig Los Osos to be more visible. I think Farmers Market is a great place to be. And then showing up to LOCAC, and again, it's for exchange and to massage and to see what the people are actually having good and difficult responses with. And then to remind you everyone that the Estero, right, Community Pool Foundation on Saturday, March 16th, from 6 to 10 p.m. is having a Zinfandel party, and that's at 455 North Ocean Avenue in Cayucas. Okay, and so if reservations are required, and that phone number is 995-3036. Again, that's 995-3036. It's for the Estero Community Pool Foundation, and. Thank you and good night.
Thank you. I'm going to do a quick plug for a Rotary Club event. We're having our annual scholarship dinner. It's at the 10th Street Grill. It's a five-course dinner, two seatings, 5 p.m. and 7:30 p.m. Tickets are available through any Rotary member. I'm going to shout out a number here, 503-4732. The tickets are $75 per person. It's a fantastic dinner. It's a five-course dinner by Chef Jay Dickinson. And Rotary's been putting this on for several years, and it goes to benefit local high school students from Los Osos for scholarships. And they give out up to four or five scholarships a year. And it's been very successful, and the students very much appreciate it. If you don't know, I know personally, books are very expensive. I've got two in college, and boy, oh boy, your money doesn't go far on a book. So any amount of money helps.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but this scholarship isn't necessarily for the best.